Where books are burned, in the end, people will be burned too. Heinrich Heine, 1820. These words are engraved on a rusty red metal plate sunk into the cobblestones of Babelplatz in Berlin. Berlin summer tourists wander past the square, situated between Brandenburger Tor and Museumsinsel, on their way to see one of the city's more grandiose sights. The location still holds symbolic tension. In one corner of the square stands an elderly woman with tousled white hair. She has wrapped herself in a big Israeli flag, the Star of David across her back. Another war has broken out in Gaza. Some 30 people have gathered to demonstrate against the anti-Semitic sentiments that, 70 years after the Second World War, are once more reawakening in Europe. On the other side of the broad, fashionable thoroughfare of Unter den Linden, trestle tables have been put out in front of the gates of Humboldt University. For a few euros, one can buy well-thumbed copies of books by Thomas Mann, Kurt Tucholsky, and Stefan Zweig, all authors whose works were thrown into the fire here in May 1933. In front of the tables is a row of cobblestone-sized metal plates. Each plate bears a name: Max Beyer, Marion Beutler, Alice Victoria Berta, all of whom once studied at the university. After each name is a date, with a place name that needs no further explanation: Mauthausen, 1941, Auschwitz, 1942, Theresienstadt, 1945. Heinrich Heine's words, actually a line of dialogue from the play Almansor, have since the Second World War been seen as an insightful prophecy of what came to pass here and the catastrophe that would follow. On May 10, 1933, in Babelplatz, which at that time was known as Opernplatz, history's most famous ceremony of book burning was staged, an event that has remained a powerful symbol of totalitarian oppression, cultural barbarism, and the merciless ideological war waged by the Nazis. The flames of the book-burning pyre have also come to symbolize the intimate connection between cultural destruction and the Holocaust. Earlier that same spring, the Nazis had assumed power in Germany using another fire, the Reichstag fire in February 1933, as a pretext. The Nazis claimed it was the work of communists and that Germany was threatened by a Bolshevik plot, and set in motion the first extensive wave of terror, arresting communists, social democrats, Jews, and others in political opposition. These accusations were fueled by the Nazi Party newspaper, the Volkische Beobachter, which had been stirring and agitating for years against Jewish, Bolshevik, pacifist, and cosmopolitan literature, setting the stage for the Nazis' ascendance. The Nazis had been sabotaging cultural events since before 1933, everything from displeasing film screenings to exhibitions of so-called degenerate art came under attack. In October 1930, Thomas Mann, who had won the Nobel Prize the previous year, attacked the prevailing mood in an open reading held at the Beethoven Hall in Berlin. Joseph Goebbels, tipped off about what was in the offing, had sent 20 brown shirts from the party's SA stormtroops to the reading, all in black tie to blend in with the audience, a group that included some right-wing intellectuals. Mann's speech was met with applause from some sections of the audience and heckling from the saboteurs. Eventually, the atmosphere grew so inflamed that Mann was forced to leave the premises by the back entrance. Threats were even more widespread. The Mann family and writers such as Arnold Zweig and Theodor Plivier had been receiving a constant stream of threatening telephone calls and letters. The homes of writers were vandalized with graffiti, and selected writers were subjected to individual monitoring by SA patrols that waited outside their houses and followed them wherever they went. Lists of objectionable literature were produced. In August 1932, the Volkische Beobachter published a blacklist of writers who should be banned once the party assumed power. Early that same year, a declaration had been published in the same newspaper supported by the signatures of 42 German professors, demanding that German literature should be protected against cultural Bolshevism. In the winter of 1933, when the Nazis took power, the focus attack against objectionable literature shifted away from the street and into the machinery of state. In February 1933, President Paul von Hindenburg signed a law for the protection of people and state, which imposed restrictions on printed publications. Further amendments in the spring of the same year imposed more controls on freedom of expression. The first casualties were communist and social democrat newspapers and publishers. Hermann Göring was charged with leading the battle against so-called dirty literature, Marxist, Jewish, and pornographic books.